Okay, good evening, everybody. Here in Erev Shabbos. It's not Shkia yet exactly, so I hope everyone is having or had a very meaningful Lag BaOmer, an uplifting Lag BaOmer. Welcome back to our Pirkei Avos class learning. So we have two sponsors this evening. I'm going to give them in the order in which they were received. The first one lives in Yerushalayim, so I assume that means she's going to listen to the recording. I don't believe that she's up and joining the Shia life. And the second one is on the Zoom. So the first one is my friend Miriam Wasserman, who I've been zocha to come to know through my Shiurim and Wayu Torah. When I was in Yerushalayim on a teaching trip in Adar Bet, I had the chus of having a Shabbos lunch meal with the Wasserman family. And then I had the chus of touring their garden when I was there for Pesach, the day before Pesach. I've spoken some about that. So Miriam Wasserman is sponsoring this year, quote, dedicating in honor of her mother, Etty Nussbaum's recent birthday. Can there be a better present than a shiur? Miriam said. I know this is the perfect gift for my mother, Shatichia, as she loves learning Torah and sharing what she has learned with her children and her grandchildren. Meretz Hashem, Miriam wrote, Mommy, you should be zochah to continue to learn on Me'ev Esrim Shana with continued enthusiasm. So I thought that was very beautiful. Miriam is dedicating this year in honor of her mother, Me'ev Esrim Shana, who should continue learning and loving Torah and transmitting that, quote, to her children and grandchildren. The next sponsor is our friend Jocelyn Stern, who has taken a number of turns sponsoring our Pirkei Avos Shir, for which we thank you very, very much, because everybody knows that Lahavdel of Alfei Avdalos, America runs on Dank and Lahavdel, our Shir runs on our dear sponsors. Jocelyn Stern is also sponsoring in honor of her mother, that is, on the occasion of her mother's Yahrzeit. In loving memory of her beloved mother, Chaya Zlata bought Shaul and Ida on her 13th Yahrzeit, Yud Tes Iyar. So we're learning as we go into the Yahrzeit, which is Motzei Lag BaOmer. She was a child of the Depression. Jocelyn wrote, my mom learned the value of things and developed strong amuna. With only a Talmud Torah education, because her parents could only send the boys to yeshiva, she learned mostly from her mother. She remained the only Shomer Shabbos of her four siblings. My mother was a strong believer in women's learning. She was an active member in shuls, schools, and women's organizations, both in New York and then after she made Aliyah. She and my father were zocha to realize their dream of Aliyah 35 years ago, Jocelyn wrote. Since December, when my father was nifter, my parents are reunited, she said. So I'll tell you what happened. I was going to continue the topic of last week, but then I got both dedications. And both dedications were in honor of their mothers. Miriam Wasserman wrote, dedicating in honor of my mother, who loves learning and sharing what she has learned with her children and grandchildren. And Jocelyn Stern wrote, in loving memory of my beloved mother, and even though she was a child of the Depression, she had strong amuna. She learned mostly from her own mother. And I thought that would be extremely appropriate, given that both dedications are a tribute to Imahot b'Yisrael, to do a special shiur on mothers, and specifically their role in the transmission of the Masorah. So last week's topic is now on hold because of the dedication this evening, and I just thought it was so interesting because neither Miriam nor Jocelyn knew that they were both sponsoring, and their sponsorships are both very similar. One, Mother Shatecha, Meir Esrim Shana Olam Haza, and the other, and the Olam HaEmes, but nevertheless, it echoes similarly that they both love to learn, and they have a connection with their children through Torah, and Jocelyn's mother learned from her own mother, primarily. And so we go to Pirkei Avos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph. Let me just find my handout for you. Okay, can you see my handout? It says Avos 1:1 at the top of my screen. Yes, thank you very much. Okay, so we're going all the way back to the beginning of Pirkei Avos. Okay, Moshe kibel Torah miSinai u'masara liYoshua. Moshe received the Torah from Har Sinai. Kibel, he got the Torah from Sinai, and he transmitted it to Yehoshua. Here we have the word Mesora. The Yoshua lezakenim, Yoshua to the zakenim, uzakenim leNeviim, the zakenim to the Neviim, the elders to the prophets. UNeviim masaru ala anshe Knesset haGadol. And here you have another transmission of the Mesora from the Neviim to the men of the great assembly. Heim amushlosh advarim. They said three things. Hevu mesunin badin. What is mesunin badin? It's translated as all different translations. So on the footnote, I wrote cautious, deliberate, patient. Sometimes I say that words on Lashon HaKodesh are very hard to translate into English. Havei misunim bedin, be cautious, be patient, be deliberate in judgment. V'amidu talmidim harbe, establish many students for yourself. V'asu siyag l'Torah, you should make a fence around the Torah. For purposes of tonight's year, we are going to be focusing on the beginning of the Mishnah. Again, Moshe kibel Torah misinei u'misara li'Yehoshua. And I got both of these dedications. What really came to mind is, to me, is the role of the mother, the Ein B'Yisrael, the Jewish mother, in transmitting the Mesorah. So Moshe got the Torah from Sinai, he transmitted it to Yehoshua, and Yehoshua's the Kenim's Kenim, Nevi'im transmitted it to the Anshei Knesset HaGadol. So that's the Mishnah that is going to be the focus of our Shir. I begin by quoting Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky in his Sefer on Pirkei Avos called Visions of the Fathers. Okay? Oh, sorry, Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky, Zatzal says as follows. Prior to the time of Yehuda HaNasi, the Mishnah was not recorded in writing, and it was only studied orally. We know that, because the Mishnah, the Gemara, is known as Torah Shabbat Al-Peh. Until Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi redacted the Mishnah, so it was oral transmission. It was therefore essential that the wording of the Mishnah, once it was recorded in writing, be as concise, as precise as possible, so it would not overtax one's memory. So what Rabbi Dr. Twersky is trying to tell you is that every word in Torah Shabbat Al-Peh is significant, which is what Michal Aretz always says about Torah Shabbat Al-Peh. Tough. Every word is very significant. And he's saying that Chazal choose their words very, very carefully. Inasmuch as every word is carefully measured, we must pause and reflect on the minor nuances in the Lashon of the Mishnah. The Mishnah states, Moshe kibel Torah Mesinai. Moshe received the Torah from Sinai. U'mesara liYoshua. He transmitted to Yehoshua. It does not say, says Rabbi Dr. Twersky, Yehoshua received the Torah from Moshe. Maybe it should say, Moshe kibel Torah Mesinai. The Yehoshua kibel Torah Mimosha. That would also make sense. But that is not, in fact, what the Mishnah says. Moshe appears to have been passive, but a transmitter to Yehoshua. Moshe kibel Torah. He received something. You could receive something and still be passive. But by Yehoshua, Mesar Yehoshua, he was active in transmitting it to Yehoshua. Then it says, Yehoshua lezekenim, zekenim lenevi'im. Neither the verb transmitted, Mesara, or kibel are used in those transmissions. So Moshe kibel Torah Mesinai. He received it. He was a passive. Passive entity, if you will, and God gave him the Torah. U'masara liYoshua, Moshe is now active in transmitting the Torah to Yehoshua. But then it says Yehoshua lezekenim. It doesn't use the word kibel or umasar. Zekenim to neviim. Did I go out of order? So as the zekenim to the neviim. The neviim asur la anshe knesses hagadola. So it's interesting that when it talks about from the zekenim to the neviim and the neviim. Yehoshua to the Zekenim. I'm sorry. It doesn't say Masar or Kibel. Zekenim to Nevi'im. It doesn't say Masar or Kibel. Notice that. Should I put it back on the screen for you? Because I was confused for a second myself. Okay? But finally, Nevi'im Masur la Anshe Knesset HaGadola. The prophets transmitted it. Once again, that verb appears. This syntax contains principles of educational psychology. The teacher-student relationship, and I spoke about that this morning, by the way, maybe one where the student is so eager to learn, he absorbs everything the teacher teaches. So, ashrecha to the teacher, the student is so eager to learn that he absorbs everything the teacher teaches. There may be another relationship in which the teacher has to exact extra effort to convey his knowledge to the student. Then there may be a halfway. So in some relationships, the student's very eager to learn. In some relationships, the teacher's very eager to teach. And then in some relationships, there's a halfway point. The student is excited to learn, and the teacher is excited to teach, which is, of course, the best kind of relationship. And the teacher is excited to teach, and the student is excited to absorb and to learn. The Talmudic sages were able to conceptualize how the Torah was taught, says Rabbi Dr. Twersky. Moshe had totally effaced himself before God. He was self-effacing. Moshe nullified himself before God. He was the greatest one who ever lived. He was the most humble one, 12:3, Bamidbar, Rish Moshe Anav Ma'od Mikol Adam Ashal Pnei Adama. And he was a receptacle for divine wisdom. He was kibel, the Torah. God transmitted it, and Moshe was a receptacle. I don't want to use the word passive, even though Rabbi Dr. Twersky says, for receiving the Torah. However, Yehoshua was unable to absorb all of Moshe's immense knowledge. Chazal tell us, Pnei Moshe kechama, Pnei Yehoshua kelevona. The Achsan is much more intense, much bigger, much stronger, much harder than is the moon. Yehoshua was unable to absorb all of that immense knowledge, and Moshe had to be more active in transmitting it. So when it comes to God and Moshe, so to speak, Moshe's act, obviously the one who's more nullified before the Ribbono Shel Olam, so he was kibel. But when it came to transmitting it to Yoshua, Moshe had to work harder. Umasara li Yoshua, here the teacher played a more active role in giving it over with more koach, with more intensity, with more excitement to Yehoshua, who received it. Then the transmission from Yehoshua to the Zakenim, and then the Zakenim to the Nevi'im were more or less equally divided between teacher and receiver, giver and receiver, teacher and student. Yehoshua gave and they received, and it was a symbiotic relationship between the two of them. But as prophecy came to an end, the transmission from the Nevi'im to the Anshei Knesset HaGdol, men of the Great Assembly, was a quantum leap. It required great exertion on the part of the instructors. So here we go again. Moshe kibel Torah Misinai. Moshe received the Torah vis-a-vis God. Moshe was totally passive. God is the ultimate teacher. Mama spoke about that this morning. The Malamei Torah La'amo Yisrael. Moshe was, if he was passive before the Ribbono Shel Olam, so to speak. But then, by it came time for Moshe to transmit to Yehoshua, Moshe had to work harder than Yehoshua had to work. Umasara li Yehoshua. Moshe was active in giving it over. When it came time for Yehoshua to translate to the Zakenim, and then the Zakenim to the Nevi'im, it was pretty much equal between teacher and student. And finally, Unevi'im, when the Nevi'im, the period of the Nevi'im ended, and now we have a period of Hester Panim, and now we don't have Gilu Shechina, and God's not talking to us anymore. We're going to a more dark time in history. So the Nevi'im had to give it over to the Anshei Knesset HaGdol. They had to be more active. When there are significant changes, says Rabbi Dr. Twersky, in the culture or learning capacity, the methodology for transmitting Torah must adapt in order to maximize learning. I will repeat that. When there are significant changes, think of our times, think of the turbulence of our times, think of what education must have been like in the Altaheim in the 1800s, and think what it must have been like in the homes in the 1900s, and think about when Jocelyn Stern's mother was growing up in the home of her mother, she was a child of the Great Depression. Things change, culture changes, learning changes, capacity for absorbing, methodology changes. And therefore, the methodology for transmission of Torah must adapt in order to maximize learning. Hence, we have flourishing yeshivas of the 18th and the 19th centuries. We have the expansion of Torah academies after the destruction of Churban Europa. Torah transmission from generation to generation must never be interrupted. And the substance of Torah never changes. But the methodology must be adapted to ensure the continuity of Torah learning. And this is something I've spoken about before in regard to the chatzotzot, the trumpets. Though I don't want to get into now for lack of time. But the way you teach one generation is not the way you teach another generation. Sometimes the teacher has to work harder and the student is more passive. Sometimes the student is more excited and the teacher perhaps is from an older generation and hasn't adapted yet. And sometimes the primary education comes in the home. And like Jocelyn said, her mother learned primarily from her mother. Like Miriam Wasserman said, her mother loves to learn, and then she transmitted to her children and her grandchildren. The methodology by which we learn changes. Even though the Torah does not change, the MS of Torah does not change, the Kedusha of Torah does not change, the message of Torah does not change, a person has to know how to adapt the transmission of Torah from generation to generation. I also think it's not funny, it's the wrong word, but interesting sometimes when you read a sefer that wasn't written so currently, but more recent times, Rabbi Dr. Twersky says the availability of audio tapes and CD-ROM, he mamash writes that, have put Torah at the fingertips of every Jew who wishes to acquaint himself with Torah study. So today we have Zoom and YU Torah. So it's even more advanced than audio tapes and CD-ROM. But obviously the methodology changes. By the use of the different terms, kibel umasar, the Mishnah is telling us the masar must be continuous. From the time Hashem gave Moshe the Torah at Har Sinai down to us in our day, the masar is continuous. But we must utilize whatever teaching techniques are appropriate for different times. I mean, imagine if a rabbi went into yeshiva today and he took the same approach that they took in Europe in the cheder in 1890. I think that probably it would be very, very unsuccessful. It doesn't mean the Torah is changing. It means the methodology by which you transmit it is changing. And Rabbi Dr. Twersky learns this out from the Lashon of this Mishnah. Although the verb, continuing with Rabbi Dr. Twersky, transmitted, Masar, Limsar, Mesorah, is not specifically stated in the transfer of Yehoshua to the elders and the elders to the prophets. It is implied. Moshe received the Torah, and then what is implied is that Moshe kibel Torah, that the Mesorah continued from generation to generation. And Rabbi Dr. Twersky says, and this next section spoke very strongly to me, as someone who Baruch Hashem spends her days, nights, weekends, weekdays, very often Shabbosos, teaching Torah. Some students just love to learn. And some teachers just love to teach. Direct quote. Some students just love to learn. And some teachers just love to teach. I would say that Baruch Hashem, anyone who comes to my classes loves to learn. My brother is a very beloved Rebbe in a day school. But he once said something interesting to me. He's very beloved, extremely popular, Baruch Hashem. But he said, he's an amazing person. He's always giving me vignettes and divrei Torah, but he said something amazing to me. He said, Micha, I'm teaching people who have to be there. It's not a bad or a good, it's a statement of fact. The kids have to go to school. You're teaching people who want to be there. So I find some students just love to learn. The enthusiasm I see in your smiles, the emails that I get, the WhatsApps, the messages, the notes, the response, you love to learn. Some teachers just love to teach. I love to teach. I love to learn and I love to teach. We may all recall instructors who clearly took pleasure in teaching and who personified the Talmudic statement, more than the calf wishes to suck, the cow wishes to suckle, from Maseches Pesachim. More than the calf, the baby cow wishes to suck on the mother, the cow wishes to suckle, to give her milk. This was the exuberance whereby Torah was transmitted, with the knowledge of teachers overflowing onto their students. And this characterized the conveyance of Torah after Moshe. So by Moshe was Kibel, right? Because he was getting it from the Ribbono Shel Olam. So anyone vis-a-vis the Ribbono Shel Olam is totally passive. Hashem is all-encompassing. Hashem is infinite. Hashem is a kol yachal. Hashem is mal haaretz kevodo. So vis-a-vis God, you're totally passive. What could I give God? Yes, my mitzvos. Yes, and amen. I understand. But vis-a-vis God, you're just kibel. But then, from the time of Moshe on and on, we have teachers who, Baruch Hashem, are exuberant, are excited, are in love with Torah. They can't wait to pass on the Torah. And it doesn't only have to be a teacher. It could be a grandmother who loves to learn and pass it on to her children and grandchildren. It could be a mother who's raising children in the Great Depression, and she becomes the primary teacher of those children. It doesn't have to be someone who literally calls herself a teacher. Any person can serve in this capacity of excitement for teaching Torah, whether you're teaching in kindergarten or giving a Dvar Torah at your Shabbos table, or you're teaching your children how to bring in a Shabbos into the home. It should be done overflowing with excitement onto the students. This characterized the conveyance of Torah after Moshe. I'm still quoting from Rabbi Dr. Tursi's commentary, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, where the desire of the teacher to transmit the Torah surpassed the student's desire to learn. So in the act of teacher, Moshe kibel Torah misinai, umasara liYoshua. Moshe's desire to teach surpassed Yoshua's desire to learn. And down ad to us, until us, Moshe's thirst and desire for Torah was unparalleled. And the Medrash states he was willing to sacrifice his life to learn Torah. And therefore Moshe received the Torah from God, but he transmitted it to the coming generations. This has served as a prototype for Torah teachers. I'm quoting Rabbi Dr. Tversky, who have been exuberant in imparting Torah knowledge to their students. It's also, if anyone listened to my morning shiur, if you didn't, you should go online and listen. But it's funny, because this morning, the whole shiur was on the Rebbe-Talmud relationship. It was not the same material, but these two shiur really complement each other. Torah teachers have been exuberant in imparting Torah knowledge to their students. And also the students have an insatiable craving. Someone who's on the Zoom, whose camera is open, just emailed me recently saying thank you. And she said, we truly have a thirst in this generation. Not a thirst for water, but a thirst for learning Torah. And that is a paraphrase of the Navi. Hine yamim ba'im nu'um Hashem elokim v'yishlachti rav ba'aretz lo rav lo lachem v'lo tzama l'mayim ki'im lishmo es divrei Hashem. These attitudes towards Torah, where a teacher is excited to give, masara liYoshua, a student is excited to receive, kibel misinai, have sustained us throughout our history. Quote, these attitudes towards Torah have sustained throughout our history. Not only is this a beautiful tribute, I think, to Ima Hope Israel, based on the sponsorships I wrote this year, but also we're coming up to Matan Torah. And could there be a more appropriate way to go into Torah than to remember the Mishnah? When we stand vis-a-vis Kodesh Baruch Hu, we're coming up to Zman Matan Torah Seinu in 2 weeks. Can't believe it. Not finished all my shirm yet. When we come up to Zman Matan Torah Seinu, so you're standing, you're a receptacle. Hashem just wants to give. He is the ultimate Malame Torah L'Amo Yisrael. He's showering Torah upon us. You have to make yourself a receptacle. L'Kabbalah Torah. Kabbalah Satorah. What do we call it? Kabbalah Satorah. You must be willing and ready and excited to receive the Torah. But then you have responsibility. Whatever Torah you receive, you have responsibility. To what? to pass it on. You might not be in the capacity of a teacher in the strictest sense of the word, but everyone could give a Dvar Torah at the Shabbos table. Everyone could tell a friend that they, when they go to lunch, a short Dvar Torah. Everyone can teach their children and their grandchildren. And we should be excited. And the children, the students, the Talmidim should feel that from us. So you have to, on the one hand, lekabel et Torah, Moshe kibel Torah Masinai. But on the other hand, Uma Sarali Yoshua, you have to be the teacher overflowing with love and excitement to give that over. These attitudes towards Torah have sustained throughout our history, and they have given us great Torah scholars who grace our proud heritage. Quote, this attitude should characterize every teacher of Torah, who should feel the Torah well up in him, and he has a pressing urge to share it. I could so relate to that. I'm not joking. The Torah, should, he should feel as if it's welling up in him, halavai, but he has a pressing urge to share it. He should resemble the... So after both dedications, I realized I want to put Kinataiva and Kavod aside. I want to focus on something else. I want to write a different shira based on the dedications, because they were so similar. Okay, Yibadol HaChaim Tov V'Aruchim, Mir Masrim and Smadar on this world, and Jaasun Stern Adalsha, Mother, who's Yurtzai, Mamash, we're going into the Yurtzai, the sun has set. But they're both a tribute to their mothers. And I really, sometimes I tell you this, how the Ribbono Shel Olam writes these shiur. Listen to the, I don't know why I decided to pick up Rabbi Dr. Twersky. I went to this Mishnah because I thought that it was very shayach talking about the Mesorah. And the mother also has a role in transmitting the Mesorah. So first I looked at Rav Sham Sharfal Hirsch on the Mishnah. Listen to how Rabbi Dr. Twersky ends. I'm not making this up. Last two sentences. The teacher should resemble the nurturing mother, who, I promise I'm quoting. The teacher should resemble the nurturing mother who feels relieved only when her infant takes from her. And by the way, no matter how old a mother is, her child is always her infant. He should resemble the nurturing mother who feels relieved only when her infant takes from her. It is this desire to impart of oneself that has perpetuated Torah throughout our history. So Rakam Yaptiz Mama Todorsinu. What does the continuity of Torah depend upon? Torah is eternal forever and ever. But what does the continuity depend upon? Each mother, each rabbi, each rav, each mora, each teacher, having the excitement to be Moshe the Torah to the next generation and being willing to be Mekabel Torah from the previous generation. And not to give it over in a dry, boring, sighing, crying fashion. With an excitement and a passion, you should feel it welling up in you. You have a continuous pressing urge to share it. But what does Rabbi Dr. Twersky say? He should resemble the nurturing mother who feels relieved only when her infant takes from her. And so both the father and the mother have a responsibility to transmit the Mesorah. I go back to the screen share. Where is it? Right here. Could you say it says Mishlei? Okay, thank you so much. So you note on the top of my hand that I prepared for you here, I bolded Umasorah LeYoshua. And I bolded Unavi Masaruah. This idea of Mesorah, of transmitting the Mesorah. The Pasuk tells us in Mishlei, Perak al Pasuches, which you see on my screen, a very famous Pasuk, Shema b'ni Musar Avicha, v'al titosh Toras Imecha. Hear, my son, the Musar, the instruction of your father, v'al titosh, and do not reject, do not forget the Torah of your mother. So Shlomo HaMelech in his wisdom tells him that both, tells us, that both the father has a role, and the mother also has a role. And now when we come to Matan Torah itself, we have such beautiful psukim. Before we come to Perichov, which is the Aseres HaDibros, we have the prelude to Matan Torah, Perik Yates. And the psukim say it's the beginning of Perik Yates in Shmos. Bechodesh HaShlishi, keep in mind, Yom Tov is in 2 weeks. Bechodesh Bezrat Hashem. Bechodesh HaShlishi, let's say B'nei Israel, Me'eretz Yitzrayim, in the third month, what we call Sivan, from when the children of Israel left the land of Egypt. On this day, they came to the wilderness of Sinai. They journey from Rephidim and they come to the wilderness of Sinai and they camp in the desert and Israel camped there opposite the mountain. So everybody knows the famous Rashi, Kish Echad, Belev Echad. Umosha Allah, I'm not trying to write off the Rashi, I just don't want to focus on it for tonight's shir because that's a whole other shir. Umosha Allah, El Ha'eloki, Moshe ascended up to God, Vayikra Elav Hashem Minahar Lemar. And God called him from the mountain saying, Ko Kosomer, and I bolded this for you, Kosomer the Beit Yaakov, or Kosomer the Veis Yaakov, v'taged the Bnei Yisrael. So you shall say to the house of Jacob, so you shall tell the Bnei Yisrael. So once again, the Mishnah we're focusing on, and we had a very beautiful, I hope you enjoyed the piece by Rabbi Dr. Twersky, so moving, Moshe Kibel, we now understand what it means to be Makabel Torah, but at the same time that you are a Makabel, you must be a Moser Torah as well. Moshe Kibel Torah, but on the other hand, Umisarali Yoshua. Yoshua Masarla Zakanim, it's implied. Zakanim Masarla Nevi'im, and the Nevi'im Masarla Anche Knesset Sagadola. Then Shlomo Melech tells us, listen, my son, Shema Bini, listen, hear, O Israel, the Lord is God, the Lord is one. Hear, O Israel, Musar Avicha, and on the other hand, do not reject or forget or discard the Torah of your mother. When it comes to Matan Torah, the first statement, it's very famous, I'm sure you're familiar with this, Rashi, the first thing that Hashem says, Kosomer LeBeis Yaakov. So you shall say to the house of Yaakov. So you shall tell the Bnei Yisrael. Atem re'isam ha'shashar sisi the Mitzrayim. You have seen what I did to Egypt, the Egyptians, and I carried you on the wings of Nisharim, and I brought you to me. So interesting, when you were in the Gush, the tour guide pointed out, I never noticed it before, I've been in the Gush before, that Yeshivat Har Etzion, the building, the top is shaped like wings, if you look at it, because it's meant to resemble the Kanfei Nisharim. You could probably Google and see the building of Yeshiva Har Etzion online, which Hashem brought us back. Okay? V'atim shema tushmu b'koli, and now, if you listen to my voice, says Rashi, atar now, kol haschalos, kashos, beginnings are hard, but if you stick with Torah, yerv lachem mikan ve'elech, the beginning is hard, but if you stick with it, it will be pleasant for you from here on. U'shmartim es bris, you shall guard my covenant, v'yisim li segula mikol ha'amim, you will be for me more cherished than all the nations. We will all be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the things that you should speak to the Bnei Israel. Okay, so we're talking about the dual role of the father and the mother. What does Rashi say? Lebeit Yaakov, Elu Hanashim. Tomar Lahem B'lashon Rak. I'm sure you've heard this. The first thing Hashem says to Moshe at Har Sinai, actually by Chorev, is by the Sneh. The first thing Hashem says to him is take off your shoes. But the first thing he says by the national mountain Torah is Kosoma Lebeit Yaakov. Rashi famously says, Elu Hanashim. These are the women. Tell them in a gentle language, tagay the Bnei Yisrael, the punishments and the harsh points, harsh and sinews. But this Rashi is very, very much oft quoted because it is a proof, if you will, that Kaviyacho, the woman, got the Torah first. Rashi is actually quoting the Medrash. Medrash Shmos Rabbah, which you see on my screen. I do not think we're going to get to rest tonight, but I don't think so, but we'll see. Medrash Shmos Rabbah 28:2, okay? So, Parasha Chav Ches, Simon Beis. Kosomer the Beis Yaakov. Why does it say that Moshe was taught to give the Torah to the woman first, so to speak? Elu Anashim, these are the women. Amar lo, Amor lahem Rashi, Dvarim Shehem Yecholos Lishma. So that's what Rashi quotes on the Chumash. You should tell the woman the main points that they're able to hear. V'tagei the Bnei Yisrael, Elu Anashim, these are the men. Amar lo, Amor lahem Dikduke Dvarim, tell them the exactness, the details, the fine points of the mitzvos. Shehem Yecholim Lishma. So tell the woman the way they could hear, tell the men the way they could hear. Davar achar, another matter. Lama hanashim tachila. Did I ask you, could you see my screen? Did I ask you when I went back to screen share? Yeah, okay. Lama lanashim tachila. Why should you tell the woman first? Shehein mizdarzos b'mitzvos. They have zrizos for mitzvos. Alacrity. When something needs to get done, you give it to a woman, you give it to a mother, and it's going to get done. That's what the Medrash was telling you. Shehein mizdarzos. Mizdarzos. They have this midah of alacrity for mitzvos. Davar achar, kideishu manhigos es b'nein l'torah. Another reason is because the woman will make sure that she leads her child to Torah. She'll pack him up a sandwich in the morning and a snack and a kiss and a little knapsack, and she'll walk him to the bus stop and she'll put him on the bus. I know there's Yotzim in a call, but in general, this is what the Medrash tells you. She will lead her children to Torah. So you should tell her first, because she will be Makabel the Torah and she will be Moser the Torah, the Mesorah of Torah to her child. Furthermore, she is with the child and the child's formative years before the child goes to school. In the traditional model, the child is with the mother. Amar Rabbi Tachlifa de Kesarin. Rabbi Tachlifa from Kesarin says, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, another reason. This is another reason. Let me put a different line so you're not confused. Okay? So actually, these are all different reasons. Okay? The first reason of the Medrash, let's review what we're up to, is the women tell them in a way that they could hear. You know, you could go. No, it's interesting. I was listening to a shir this week online. I don't want to say by who or what it was about. I did not was not able to really follow so much. I enjoyed it, but I was having some trouble following. I sent it to my son, the almost 25-year-old, and my husband, and they said, yeah, they were both able to follow the whole thing. What was the problem? I'm not, like, such a not smart person, and it was very hard for me to follow. But they had no problem following the shiur. Interesting. So, Elo Anashim, Amarlo, Rashi Dvarim Sheini Chos Tushma. When you teach a person, you gotta teach, goes back to Rabbi Dr. Tursky, in a way that they could understand. What good is it to be a brilliant mathematician if you're trying to give all your brilliant mathematics to someone who doesn't know what you're talking about? You may as well be talking Chinese, or Japanese, or Spanish. I don't understand any of those languages. So you could be brilliant, but I don't understand. You gotta tell it to me in a way that I could understand. And the men tell it to them, the exactness of the lacha, the way they could hear. Davar acher, another reason. Lama l'nashim t'chila shehein mizdaros b'mitzvos. If they need something done, do I have to do it right now? Could I do it later? I just got home. I'm very tired. The mother says, just do it and she's going to get it done. And sometimes it's just not worth waiting. They have zrizos. Davar acher, k'deishi manhigos es b'nei l'tor. The mother is the one who nurtures the child in the young years. Moshe even says, do I have to carry them? Kasher Yisa Ha'omein Es Hayonik. Must I carry this nation like a nursemaid carries the suckling? The Gemara says, more than the calf wants to suckle, the mother wants to give her milk. The mother will lead her children to Torah. Amar Rabbi Tachlifa de Kesar, and another reason, an unbelievable reason, not unbelievable, but powerful. Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kesher Barasi Es Ha'olam, Lo Tzi Visi Alelo Adav Arishon. God says, you know, when I made the world, I had a first command, and I told it to Adam, the first man. Mikalei tzagan ochel tochel, ume priha eitz asher besocha gad lo socha mimenu could be a mechacha mimenu most tabus. But Isha wasn't created yet; she wasn't created till Perek Beis Pasach Beis. He goes to sleep while God puts him to sleep. He takes mitzela, his side bone, and he wakes up and he has this gorgeous woman. Wow, zod hapam etzel meatzamai basar bimsari. Wow, she's called Isha because she's taken from Ish. So God says, you know, I gave the first command only to the man. Something happened. I didn't give it to her. I gave it to him. She didn't get the mitzvah first. And what happened? All of a sudden, everyone's eating the forbidden fruit. Why? Because Isha took the fruit. Are you gewalt, says God. What am I going to do now? I'm going to be misaking. Kaviyachal, excuse me, just for illustrative purposes, but that's really what the Medrash is telling you. Achshav, it's not Michal saying it, it's God, it's the Medrash. Im eini kora l'nashim t'chila, if I do not call the woman first, kosomer l'beis Yaakov, hey mivatlus es ha-Torah, there will be bitul Torah. I better tell the woman first. There cannot be any message lost in translation. There can't be any breakdown of communication. What was that game called? Broken telephone? Never play with a hearing impaired person. It's torture for them, and probably for you. But if I don't tell the woman first, there's going to be broken telephone, breakdown of communication. The Wi-Fi is bad. Hello? Reconnecting. What did you just say? And in the interim, while it's reconnecting, you took a wrong turn because Waze wasn't loading. In the interim, you did the wrong thing. In the interim, she ate from the fruit. Oh my gosh. So what do I have to do? I have to tell it to her first. I'm going to make sure that doesn't happen again. Therefore, it says, so you should tell the Beis Yaakov. The Maharsha has a novel, unique interpretation of Kosomer the Beis Yaakov v'taged the Bnei Yisrael. The Maharsha says as follows, Kosomer the Beis Yaakov, I'm trying to highlight the pasuk for you. So you shall tell the Beis Yaakov v'taged the Bnei Yisrael. Ready? Moshe went up to God, and God called him from the mountain, saying, Kosomer the Beis Yaakov, you Moshe should tell the woman. We just looked at the Medrash, and we saw 4 different reasons why the woman got the Torah first, says the Medrash. Barasha says, Kosomer the Beis Yaakov, you teach the woman, v'taged the Bnei Yisrael, they will teach the men. Kosomer the Beis Yaakov, as long as the woman knows what to do, as long as the woman knows Torah, v'taged the Bnei Yisrael, she, the Jewish woman, well, tell it to the Bnei Yisrael. She can be a leader. She too can be a teacher. I have to be very careful with how I say and how that's interpreted. I'm talking about in the traditional family model. The woman, the mother, is also a teacher in the traditional family model. I don't mean to I have to be very careful. Chachamim is hard, but Not that I'm such a chacham, but I still have to be careful with my words. I don't mean to feed into any platform when I say a woman is a teacher and a leader. Okay? I'm just quoting you Marmei Chazal, by the way. Okay? But even within the structure of her home, a woman must see that she has a very important role in transmitting the Torah. I'll show you something beautiful. One second, actually. I need to get on my screen first, by Oz Yashir, okay? When Miriam HaNeviah took the tambourine in her hand, and all the women went out after her with tambourines and dances. So I want to show you what the Pasuk actually says, okay? Can you see I'm in Shemos Perek Tesvav? Okay. So after Moshe and the men sing a whole long Shira, the Pasuk says, Perek Tesvav Pasuchof, Vatikach Miriam HaNeviah Achus Aaron Esatov Biyada. And Miriam the Neviah, the sister of Aaron, took the tambourine in her hand. And all the women went out after her with tambourines and dances. Vata'an lahem Miriam. Now, by now, everyone who learns with Michard should know how careful we have to be, a medactic you have to be with not only every topic in Chumash, not only every pasuk in Chumash, not only every word in Chumash, but every, hello, letter in Chumash. Vatan lahem Miriam. Just a minute. Who is she singing to here exactly? Who is she telling? Look what God did for us. Who is Miriam the prophetess leading? Devorah was a prophetess. We drove by Har Tabor. Oh my gosh, in the north in Israel. And we were in the place where Sisera and his army came out from. I was so excited. So everybody went and Knesset Yisrael to get guidance, if you will, from Devorah Eshes Lapido. She would make wicks for the Mishkan, and she would sit and judge the people. And they all came to her. She was a great prophetess. And the people came. The men and the women came. Vatan lohem, Miriam, just a minute. If she's only talking to the women and only teaching the women and only telling everybody how great Hashem is on the lady side, then the Chumash should say, Vatan lohem, Miriam. Now, it doesn't. It has a mem sofis, not a nun sofis. And by now you know that's very significant. Vatan lohem Miriam, Shiru Lashem ki God. Miriam called out to them, sing to God, for he is exalted over the exalted. Horse and rider he hurled into the sea. I cannot remember which sefer I read it in this past year before Parshas Beshalach. This is not my own vart. Vatan lohem Miriam, I think it was in a Dvar Torah from a source that Esther Edelman sent me a number of years ago that I recently found and reviewed again before Parshas Beshalach. That's where I think the source is. Vatan lohem Miriam. Miriam did not only call out to the woman, or it would end with an ender nun. She called out to everybody, the men and the women. Now, it's not talking about Kol Isha here, and it doesn't have to be that she's saying to them. It says they went out with tambourines and dances, but Miriam called out to everybody. She held up the tambourine and she says, look what God did. Remember the nevuah I had when I was a baby and I told my father, you're worse than Paro. Paro lo gazar al azcharim, v'ata gazar al azcharim v'anakevos. And I encouraged my father to get back with mother. And that's why it says that a man from Beis Levi went, v'yikach es bas Levi, he remarried her, ba'atzas bito, says the Gemara. That's Miriam HaNeviah. So now she says, didn't I tell you we would have salvation? Not only were our babies not thrown into the sea, but they, the ones who wanted to throw us into the sea, were thrown into the sea. Vatan lahem Miriam. She stands up and she says before the whole nation, the men and the woman, and her mem sofis, not a nur. Yes, a woman can be a leader, and I mean that in the traditional model. Nobody should misconstrue my words or take them out of context from tonight's shir. And yes, in the traditional model, a woman has to know her role. And Hashem said, when I give the Torah, I will give it to the woman first. We saw four different reasons why the woman gives it first. And Rabbi Dr. Twersky says, in such a beautiful pshah, that we all have dual roles. On the one end, we are mekabel from those who are much greater than us. Vis-a-vis the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's the ultimate, I can't even say self-nullification. What is a vis-a-vis God? Nothing. So Moshe, totally self-nullified before the Ribbono Shel Olam. So when it talks about Moshe receiving the Torah from Har Sinai, he's only the mekabel. He is the receptacle from receiving. But then Moshe, dynamic Moshe, Ahavas Torah Moshe, Moshe emes v'saraso emes Moshe, he transmitted it. He becomes the active personality. And then when it was time for Yoshua to transmit it, he becomes the active personality. And every generation down to us, more than the calf wants to suckle, the cow wants to give her milk. And Rabbi Dr. Twersky says that every teacher should feel the boundless Torah, the wellsprings of Torah welling up inside of him with such excitement. He takes it from his Rebbeim and he is overflowing with excitement for Torah that he wants to give it forward. And yes, even in the traditional model, especially in the traditional model, the mother is the one who rears the children. That is the very traditional model. She is the one who rears the children in their youth. She is the one who takes them to yeshiva. She is the one who waits at the bus stop. She's the one who buys the knapsack. She's the one who packs up the brownie and gives a kiss. She has a tremendous power to impart the Torah to the future generation. Shema buni musar avicha. The al titosh. I forget which God, though. I think maybe Rav Pam Zatzal would say that when his mother would wake him up very, very early in the morning to learn it, it was a cold winter morning, she would also have a hot, he was a little boy, a hot, hot cocoa prepared to warm him up. This is how the mother transmits the Torah. And I thought, when I said I was not going to get to Megillas Rosh, and I did not get to Megillas Rosh like I hoped, but when I got these two dedications, I didn't want to talk about Kinat Haiva and Kavod tonight. Because Miriam Wasserman is dedicating in honor of her mother, Shatecha Eti Nisbam's recent birthday, who loves to learn Torah and shares what she learns with her children and grandchildren. So we wish her Mazel Tov on a recent birthday. And Jocelyn Stern, the Yurtzeit is Mamish tonight. In loving memory of her beloved mother, Chaya Zlata Bashal and Ida, on her 13th Yurtzeit. She was a child of the Depression. And even though she only had a Talmud Torah education and not a yeshiva education, quote, she learned mostly from her mother. And may her neshama have an aliyah. And I think we all have the tremendous achrayus to internalize the teachings of the Torah, whether it's b'ktav and ba'al peh. See the high esteem in which the Ribbono Shel Olam entrusts us the mission of being part of the chain of transmission. We must receive from our teachers, and we must be excited, able, and willing to pass on to our students and our children. Moshe kibel Torah miSinai, umasar li Yoshua, Yoshua zakenim, zakenim l'neviim, neviim masru la'anshei knesses hagadolah. A lot of food for thought as we approach Zman Matan Torah Seinu. I wish everybody, thank tonight's sponsors. Please remember the shiur runs on sponsors, whether you're an online listener like Miriam Wasserman or a Zoom joiner like Jocelyn Stern. If you are able to take a turn sponsoring a shiur, please reach out to me. I wish everyone a gevaldik, uplifting, and wonderful Shabbos Kodesh. And Be'ezer Hashem, we will continue next week. Topic to be determined. Thank you so much, everyone. Kol tov.